thank you so much for coming today. And I hope I'm impressed by the turnout. First of all, we were like, oh, this might be a small one. So thanks for coming. So we're going to make this a little bit less of a traditional panel format, because I hate panels. We're early in the conference, but I get very paneled out very quickly. And especially with this topic, I think that we all have a lot to say and contribute, as much or more so than Kat and I do. I'll start out with intros real quick, and then I'll tell you how we're gonna work this. I'm Kate Shepard. I'm an enterprise editor at the Huffington Post. I live in Washington, D.C. I have been an environmental reporter for most of my career. Now I edit some environment stories, but also some political stories more generally. And we originally had this panel with, we had two other panelists originally, and ironically, the first panelist told me he was too busy to do my panel and being too busy, so he canceled. Then my other panelist said that she was going to be off reporting, and so she was also too busy to do my panel and being too busy. And then I asked Kat to join, and she was very gracious in joining because she is also very busy. And then I tried to scramble and find two more panelists, and everyone was too busy to be on my panel about being too busy. So I also have been too busy to put a whole lot of effort into organizing my panel and being too busy. So we're going to make this more of a workshop / therapy session. And so I'll let Kat give a little intro, and then I'll talk through how we're going to work our activity today.
Okay, great. Well, I'm really glad to be here and thankful for Kate for asking me. I am a web editor at Yale Environment 360. I started there pretty recently in February, and before that I was a reporter covering climate change, policy, and politics at Inside Climate News. And before that I was a freelancer, but I've been an environmental science reporter for about 10 years now. And it's been an interesting shift to be at Yale Environment 360 and moving from a reporter to an editor role. And I run all of E360's social media. I run our multimedia. I manage our websites. So hopefully I will have gleaned some useful tips for you guys, fingers crossed. But I've also, you know, been a reporter and known how to, you know, the demands when you have to balance reporting and edits from editors with trying to keep up with social media and, you know, also using various tools to inform, you know, both your professional self and your career and also like your job as a journalist and trying to glean the best information that you can from it. So I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, to have a little background on my newsroom, I mean, I'm mostly editing now, but that also means that you're posting to Twitter, but not just posting to Twitter, you're thinking about the strategy for what you post to Twitter is and, you know, how do you get people to share it. I'm keeping up with email, which I looked at my inbox earlier today and there's 1,600 emails in there that I haven't read yet. And then you are thinking about the social sharing on Facebook, which is a little bit different than the sharing on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's my office Slack chat, which I don't know if any of you are familiar with the particular hell that is Slack chat. keeping up with that. And there's days when I feel like keeping up with the information coming at me is my full-time job, and that editing is a thing I get to do as a luxury. So I'm sure that you all are dealing with these same issues as well. So our thought today was, I have these notepads, I'm gonna pass them out to everybody. I'm gonna have everybody take 5 minutes to just put on one sheet of paper, put down your biggest challenge or obstacle in terms of time management and deciding how to use your time, or just things that are creating problems for you in trying to do everything as a journalist. And then you'll all have a little piece of notebook, you'll have 5 minutes to write down your challenges. And then we're going to go around the room and I'll have people just say their top challenges and also say their name and where they're from so we get to know each other a little bit. And then I'm going to take your notebooks and we're going to organize the problems together. And then I'm going to break you up into islands based on which problem you think is the most interesting and that you want to figure out how to tackle. And then in your small groups, the theme of this was Survivor, so I'm making you go on islands and fight each other to the death. Or actually just be helpful and constructive and talk to each other. But then you're going to spend about 15 minutes talking together about your strategies and your tools, and then we'll have everybody we'll have a spokesperson from each group present their problem and their tool set that they came up with. Does that sound fun? Just gonna get you a seat a little bit, talking to each other. Cool. Okay, let me pass these out. I have a number of markers. I don't have a marker for everyone, I'm sorry. But you can use a pen.
I'll take half.
Oh yeah. If we run out of notepads here, just split it off and hand it to your casting navigators. Yeah. Okay. Are people feeling like they've got all their problems down? You're good? Okay. I won't, because there are a lot of people here, I won't have everybody read all their problems, but I'll take volunteers to stand up and share what your top three problems were. And then Kat and I are going to start arranging them into sort of similar areas. And then we're going to have you break off around those problem sets. So who wants to volunteer and tell me about their problems first? Jim.
So, problem number one, how to retain focus amid all the noise.
Yeah.
Okay. Problem number two, this is a similar question, how to set priorities and stick to them. Number three, how not to be anxious about my metrics. My metrics is what my bosses look at.
Okay.
And then how to make work, how to do work that matters in a clickbait world.
So let's see, how would I, what's a one word way of saying? Okay, I put focus, priorities, and metrics as our big three here. Okay, who else wants to volunteer? Really? Okay, I'll go up front here.
Mm-hmm. Where they read it first. So that's a problem.
Okay. That's a hard one to digest. Okay. So bigger paper stealing your stuff, one problem. Yeah. Not wanting to do social media because you have other things to do, another one. So I'll put social media down. And then I guess maybe the other one is just like keeping your original content or ownership in the digital age, I guess, of ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be nice if they tried it, you know?
Right. And you can spend all your time enforcing, yeah. Okay. Back in the corner there.
My problem is sort of similar to Jim's. It's about multitasking. But I have to do it all simultaneously. I have to record the radio. I have to tweet. I have to take pictures. And then I have to pay attention enough to what someone's saying to tweet, to record, to write about later. So I guess that's all multitasking. Maybe it's the same.
Yeah, that's a problem when you have a bunch of people who cover science and we know too much about how little we are able to do. Okay, I have Rona, and then the person in front of Rona that I don't know, sorry.
So social media?
Okay.
Okay, I was just told that apparently people are listening to this from other places. So no, I mean, that's not, nobody said anything.
They're listening.
No. But all we're asking is that people come up and speak into the microphone when they're saying, just so. Just so people not here can actually hear your issues.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, we have a webcast also, so I'm glad to hear people are tuning in. People who are too busy to come are tuning in online.
Okay, I won't be shy, although this might be leaning down. Okay. Hi, I'm Laura Mahoney. I'm a staff correspondent for Bloomberg BNA here in Sacramento. And my problems are more old school journalism and not so much social media. My beat list keeps on growing, and I don't know how to track all of them. I'm supposed to be meeting editors' demands to file faster and do more in-depth analysis. So, you know, pick one. And how do I find time to develop sources with the coffees and the lunches and the chats when I'm always on deadline and I don't have time to talk to anyone except when I need them to call me back in 2 minutes?
Right, and people you don't know don't call you back in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I put down beat creep and speed as the two biggest issues there. Okay.
I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but managing emails, I have to do it on my own time because I never have time to do it on the job. And also managing all the information. It's great to have all the information, but what do I do with it? How do I know how to find it when I need it again?
Okay, email management. That one's Okay. Okay, Lynn, we'll get the person behind you after that.
Hi, I'm Heather Lammers. I work at the National Renewable Energy Lab. So back to the social media issue and trying to juggle multiple platforms, understanding the right audience and how you're actually getting your message to the right people.
Yeah, so I'm going to say like maybe messaging, because I like it's kind of what I said, like idea that you have to think differently about a tweet than you do about a Facebook post. Okay, so social messaging maybe is what I'll put down here as the issue. As a different thing than social media tools.
I'm Rocky Kistner, and I'm an independent reporter and producer, but I was with NRDC for 7 years. I'd like to have some feedback on how to convince editors that doing video and multimedia work doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. I get a lot of pushback sometimes about doing video. And, you know, it seems like, you know, that there are ways to do it cheaper and faster and better. So that's what I'd like to talk about.
So that sounds like a convincing people to spend the time on video?
Not so much convincing. Well, just that, you know, to do it doesn't cost too much. They can do it cost effectively. And, that,
okay.
You know, you can do it quickly if you have the background, you know, enjoying
okay.
it. And then also, I'm still having trouble getting my daughter to follow me on Snapchat. If anybody has any suggestions.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to still distill that one still. Maybe I'll say video.
Okay.
It could be a little broad. We can talk about it, yeah. Okay, I'll say video / multimedia.
All right. Good morning. I'm Brian Real. I'm a spokesperson with the Edison Electric Institute in Washington. And a lot of what you see in social media, some of the best performing content that we do has compelling visual aids. And sometimes it's very time consuming to develop content for complex policy issues, or there's really interesting events or speakers going on, but the room has such bad lighting that you're trying to kind of find a way to take pictures that are useful. And usually sometimes it's just so bad, the lighting's just so poor that it's kind of hard to get that content. So kind of figuring out and dedicating the time to get that visual content's a big piece of it. And I also have a colleague who manages social content and does a really good job, and sometimes it's much easier just to share the great work she's doing than to kind of put the time into developing some original content as well. So kind of piggybacking sometimes on your colleagues who are really good at these things.
Yeah, so I'm going to distill that one as maybe making quality content in a pinched resources environment. I know that my newsroom,
they want all of us reporters to make video, and we are all pretty crappy at video, but we try. And we all take our own photos, and we're all of varying abilities on that. So, okay, so quality.
And also visual aids to complement okay. some of the writing, too.
Okay. So I'll say quality visuals. Okay, Scott.
Hey, so I'm Scott Dodd. I'm the editor of Grist. My problem is this, and for those who are listening in, I'm holding up my phone. I mean, you know, so this is with me all the time, and turning off the stream is pretty much impossible. I was too busy helping write a headline to actually listen to your instructions for this exercise. So, you know, how do you ever shut the stream off when you're basically holding it in your hand all the time, carrying it in your pocket all the time, and there's always something to pay attention to?
So phone FOMO?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you have the same problems here. I have a 2.5-year-old, so it's like, how do I protect my phone that has like the E360 Twitter feed from him getting into it?
Yeah, my 11-month-old has cracked my screen already, so. Anyone else have anyone that's new or different that we haven't talked about yet? Don't be shy. Okay. Oh, wait, sorry, Janet. Yeah.
I'm Janet Rolup with Science News in Washington. How often are we supposed to tweet and post on Facebook when you work an 11-hour day? You know it should be up there. Do you do it when it's convenient for me, or should we really be focusing on what time of day someone might be reading it? So, for those of us who are really focusing on another part of the job, how do we figure that out? Same with the search engine optimization. We think in terms of what our readers would understand in a headline or a deck, but how important is it, and how much time should we spend in that SEO business?
Okay, so I'll do SEO as one distinct, for sure. And then the timing?
How often to post?
Yeah, timing of posting.
Post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Though we also deal with this, I mean, my newsroom, we deal with this with stories, too. You know, do you put the story up at 6 a.m. when people see it when they wake up? Or what if I put up at 4 when they're about to leave for the day? Like, yeah, timing is a big discussion. That was not a timing issue. When you were a daily newspaper that came out every day, it was not an issue.
And balancing time zones.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, you know, I live in Connecticut, so I always think on the East Coast. And then I don't think about that for E360, about 40% of our readers are international. So what time does that mean they're getting these social media things?
Okay, I'm going to put this down as timing, and then in parentheses it says social and publishing. Okay, David?
Yeah, training your boss not to abuse social media. I'm a very good boss. I have a staff of one, and I don't email her about, you know, the Blue Notes at 2 in the morning on Tuesday, but I have people who are constantly getting, like, tweets and emails on the weekend, in the middle of the night, with an expectation that you're on 24/7 work schedule. You know, we're adult investigative reporters for the most part.
Right.
We know how to do our stories without the editor or whoever using, I'd say abusing, social media to be trying to be in contact with you to do work 24/7.
Editor abuse? I just editors. as now that we're both editors and have been recently reporters, we can totally feel it. Okay, I will just put down the editors because
it's a fair category.
It's a problem. We're problems, you know. Okay,
Joanna Pinium, a freelance photojournalist, and I think it's both the messaging and the timing. It's like which social media to prioritize for sort of photographers, Instagram. Maybe the best one, sometimes Twitter, how often to post, on which one and where, and the best way to really build an audience as a freelancer.
Okay, I'm going to put down audience building, because that can cover across different issues, yeah. And the other ones are kind of similar to something we already talked about.
Yep.
Okay, audience development.
Hi, Peter Thompson from PRI's The World. I share most of what folks have already spoken about here, and perhaps this is redundant, but for me, it's balancing priorities, basically short-term versus long-term, details versus strategic. It's just a constant battle every minute of the day. What are my priorities, and how do I cut through? How do I get them both done? Because they're both absolutely necessary.
Right. I could put that, we had a priorities one.
We did, yeah.
Can I put it under that? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, people have different sets of priorities that need to balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another way to, I know, I see what you're saying as being a little bit different, yeah.
Planning versus execution, strategic versus immediate.
Long-term versus, yeah, like, yeah. It's strategy, because no one has time to do strategy, so, yeah, okay. Yep.
Hello, I'm Jason Burton with USGS Office of Communication, and I probably have a different problem than most of the people in the room, because My issue is actually communicating with reporters, getting information out to reporters. USGS does lots of studies, lots of information all around the country, and sometimes it's difficult for us to find out the right group of journalists in certain areas to connect that information to. And that's something that I've been dealing with. So maybe pitching, I guess, would kind of be
the
issue.
And maybe that's something that a lot of us, the reporters in the room, can identify with, too, as people who have to pitch editors. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Okay. We have a really good list here. I'm going to read through the ones we have, and then I will hold them up and hand this to someone, and then have you self land on your little islands.
Should we consolidate some of them?
Yeah, let's see if we can consolidate some of them. There are a lot.
I just don't want each group to have that one person.
Okay. We have multitasking, social media, focus, which I think I could probably put with multitasking. I could probably put them together. Beat creep, speed, email management, social messaging, which maybe I'll put that with social media. Video and multimedia, quality visuals. I'll put those two together because you want to have quality multimedia. You don't want to just have multimedia for multimedia's sake. Phone FOMO, SEO, timing for social and publishing, editors, audience development, strategy, and pitching. Okay, I think we can group around these, and if we have smaller groups, that's fine. Who wants to go in the multitasking focus group? Okay, cool.
Come get it.
And we'll have you each take like just a little corner. I'm sure you can figure out how to make space for yourselves. And so after we hand these all out, everybody's going to take about 15 minutes together to talk about your various strategies. And then you're going to pick a spokesperson who will talk about what the strategies were you came up with. Does that sound good? Okay.
I feel like social media, timing,
yeah. Well, audience development, I think, is a little, I can see that would be a little bit different, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So social media, we're going to put, social media is going to be together with the sort of timing question and, there was one that was about like prior, like how do you pick what social media to engage in? So we'll do social media. Who wants to do social media? Well, what came out of the discussion that was helpful?
I don't.
Okay, so we're starting, sorry, just to recap, we're starting with the SEO audience development pitching group up front here.
And this is Ben Sherman, NOAA Public Affairs. And we have Dan Roloff from Science, Phil Ellis from Earth Justice, and Jermaine Gates from Freelancer. And we came up with about five or six issues. I don't think we came up with solutions. We came, how to get the message above the clutter and to make connections with that audience stick. How to get people to find you. In other words, if you're a relatively new starter out there in the social media world, how do you build an audience? Do we have to be cute and catchy to get that audience, or can we play it straight? One suggestion that came out from Janine, oh no, it actually came from Kate, Catherine, is taking a post and spending like $25 to make it a Facebook time or newsline feed. And they use the example of they did interviews with the Clinton and Trump campaigns on climate change, and then summarized that article and paid for it to go on Facebook, and you said a nominal fee of like $25, $50 to do that, and it opened hundreds of thousands of new traffics coming back to them through other places. And then how do you be visible without social media? That was the other question. Do you really need to be on social media? And from that, we just kind of went in various circles. you know, sometimes it's pitching a story to a high visibility media outlet such as the New York Times, and then having everybody else in the media world chase it, or social media world chase that story, and you get a spin-off from that. Sometimes it's coming up with the cute headline and people follow it. Philip's target is he's looking for people that want to more in the advocacy standpoint of following earth justice issues and how to get to that. So, I mean, it's really difficult. And we're kind of at a loss, and we'll welcome any suggestions or comments.
Well, I feel like the suggestion about, you know, you can, some amount of money will sometimes buy you more attention. A lot of newsrooms are doing that to get specific stories in front of wider audiences. So it's good. That's a good suggestion. How about over here? We had the managing email, the email management group. Here.
Oh. Yeah, I'm Dylan with the Register Goat. It's a newspaper up in Eugene. I was with Vona and from Chesapeake and Andy from UC Davis, and we talked about just managing saved emails. A lot of us like to save all emails, and just whether we should delete them or not. Maybe if you keep them, try to put them in files, things like that. Just sort them out so they're not cluttered. Vona has turned off the alerts on her emails, so she actually has to go and open up the email program so it's not constantly distracting her throughout the day. Oh, yeah. We have talked about unsubscribing from certain lists of things like that, just and taking a whole day to do it and just go through, and if there's any that's cluttering you, unsubscribe from them.
There's also, and to add to that, there is a program called Unsubscribe Me where you can just mess up. It will read your inbox and tell you all the things that are spammy, and you can pick them and unsubscribe from them all at once.
What was that called again?
I think it's called Unsubscribe Me. Unenroll me. Yeah.
And then also, this is a little more proactive, but actually get in touch with the senders and tell them to stop rambling on listservs. This may be impossible. And then ask your boss to be a boss. I am in a situation where we have a thing called like news tips, and all 20-some reporters look through and go through the same email. And hopefully my boss isn't listening. But we all listen or look at the same emails. And if we just had like one person doing that or took turns, maybe like, hey, it's your week to go through the news tips, something like that, so we're not all just duplicating work.
That's a great suggestion. And I know in my newsroom sometimes you get a vague gram that's like, can someone do this? And you're like, well, there is one someone who should probably be doing it. Just email that someone. In the front here, we had the very large multitasking focus group.
Yeah. We have a microphone.
Amy Quinton, Capital Public Radio. Multitaskers are really good at coming up with really long lists. All right. Solutions. This was particularly for people dealing with paywalls and they want to get their tweets out there to tweet quotes. Another tip is to share colleagues' posts with story highlights. Find relevant Facebook groups and share within those groups. You can copy and paste the same post in 25 groups. Was there a certain app for that? Or
no.
No, you just...
If there is, I'd love to hear it. Generally, like, I just make a... I have a list of all the different groups that generate
generally follow my stuff, and then I keep adding to it whenever a story that I write is relative to what that audience likes. I'll just post it on a ton of different Facebook groups.
Okay, and then there was drive traffic and build brand/presence. I don't recall what that was about. Was that? All right, next one. Oh, tweeting nuances for follower engagement. We talked about that. Linking Facebook and Twitter, there's a way to do that. Ask writers for tweets as part of pitch. Does anybody want to talk about that?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
I say, in my newsroom, we ask people to write, to tell us what the tweet is when they pitch a story. And that helps them to start thinking about focusing their idea, but it also sort of means you're thinking about it early on and not just at the back end.
Yeah. I will also say, too, we now have, from the editor standpoint, we now have our contract that we send out to writers, and at the bottom we have writer's guidelines. They're more like suggestions. But we ask our writers to actually put their stories on social media. You'd be surprised at how many of them don't put their own stories up on their own social media pages. So we ask them to do that, and we do like Reddit AMAs and things like that.
And there are apps to help, because there's something called Social Flow and other apps to schedule all your tweets in advance. So if you know you have a story coming out and you already have a headline, because you're supposed to, before the story comes out, you can schedule it in advance. SEO and key message for people, like using, for example, you gave the, using Connecticut if you're a regional reporter in your tweets to help get your message across. That's SEO that I'm sure people are going to talk about. Making a nightly to-do list, and there's apps that help with this. Wunderlist, Evergo, Apple Notes. Write your stories first, then look at your email. The email on phone, question mark. I don't remember what that was. Yeah, is it a distraction or is it necessary? Use folders. If This Then That is an app, you can follow certain feeds and it saves into spreadsheets.
So If This Then That is a program where you can set commands so that, like, for example, I have one where if it's raining outside, based on the AccuWeather, it will send a text message to my phone that says, Kate, take your umbrella. But you can do it with emails and stuff. Like, so if the thing says press release, it goes into a folder that says press releases so that I don't look at it directly. But there are a whole lot of different things you can do with that program.
I like this one. Don't multitask. Focus on priority one day and use auto responses so that your editors know you're actually working. I won't be checking email regularly because I'm on deadline. I do this too. I actually say, if you really need me, text me, because I'm not checking my email. Another solution is your work location. Work from home so you're not distracted in newsrooms. You can put headphones on. This doesn't work in radio, but you can put headphones on.
Yeah.
Set a timer for tasks. Let's see, noise canceling, peaceful music. Jim had that. So you're listening to that, and you can stay focused. And then there's an app to disable the internet. Anyone dares.
That one, you set a timer and say, like, make my internet not work for 15 minutes, so then you can focus on whatever it is you're doing.
Is there anything I missed, folks?
What's that called? They're Freedom, and there's another one called, like, Pomodoro or something? Something about
Pomodoro is the 15-minute timer.
Yes, 15-minute timer.
You know, just say, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, Pomodoro, yeah. It's a timer app. Pomodoro. Pomodoro.
It's something to do with tomatoes. That's fine.
Something to do, yeah, it was something with tomatoes? Yeah, sorry. Okay, so we're getting really close. Okay, so video, folks. And we do have to go quickly because we're going to get booted upstairs. Here, I'll hold that.
Oh, thanks. Hi, I'm Carol Linnett from DSMA Canada. So mostly we spent most of our time like going over all the things you're thinking about when you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with multimedia. Most of us were mostly interested in talking about video. And some of the things that we talked about that are solutions oriented is So figuring out what your plan is ahead of time, because we're talking about the difference between like getting a short clip of somebody on your phone that you're going to embed into your article versus like making a short little crafted Facebook video. So figuring out what you're doing ahead of time to make sure like you have the gear, you're situated properly in the room to like get the audio and those kinds of things was something we found was useful to be thinking about, because sometimes we just sort of throw ourselves into a reporting situation and really not thinking about what we're actually trying to produce at the end of it. And video and writing is so different. And one of the things we're talking about too is in terms of skills and gear, having a conversation with your team or your editor about what they really want from you and to like kind of have realistic expectations. So if they do want you to produce a 6-minute video, that's different than a whole suite of other things. And in terms of gear, there's apparently an app that you can get for your iPhone that records in high res, and so you can really increase the audio quality of your iPhone footage, which is excellent. And then some of the other things we quickly talked about were just thinking about what to use videos for. So branding your organization or doing short series and trying to make a writer more personable and have them be sort of a character that people recognize and want to hear more from. Building an audience and keeping people on the page. We were talking about how with the Facebook algorithm, which is like the thing that dominates all our lives, I just learned this, I don't know if everyone already knew this, but if somebody goes to your clicks on a link and goes to your page, if they spend a substantial amount of time on that page, Facebook recognizes that as a high quality link and will actually put more time into sharing it. So virality, having good content on the page is key to that quality. And so we're thinking, even if you are just doing short video clips, they actually might be really, really valuable if they're keeping somebody on the page for 5 minutes versus a minute and a half. Another thing was including interesting and captivating voices. So someone in our group was talking about being in Louisiana, talking to people affected by the oil spill there, and just like having these like really larger-than-life characters with these beautiful voices and sort of capitalizing on that for video, recognizing that some things don't translate as well in writing. And then we just talked about the difference in platforms and being aware of the algorithm. So are you doing a Facebook video? Is it for Twitter? Is it for on your site? And sort of thinking about that beforehand in terms of, like, do you spend so much time on a video that maybe isn't worth it? Some things quick and dirty, other things is worthwhile for more of your time.
Okay, great. Thanks. Great. Thank you so much. And then back group was social media. You're going to have to do, like, super fast version because I'm going to get... Jay will come kill me.
Need me to come up?
Yeah, come up for the mic. Sorry.
There's one right there. And one right here.
Okay, so we're out of time, so I'll do a really brief.
You have a great voice, though, so it's okay.
Basically, we had a wide variety of people with different interests and different backgrounds, some with organizations, some freelance. So we covered a lot of different things. I was going to try to read their names, but I'll avoid that for now. And social media is very broad, so we did not write on a big piece of paper, but I took notes. People were interested in what social media to follow, the timing and focus, how to get everything done within a day. That was a big concern around the group. How to keep attention if you're writing a story and then social media comes through. That seemed to go through all the groups. LinkedIn was considered a good source for one of the members of our group. Self-promotion was mentioned. Notifications of articles coming out, a way to get people to know who you are and what you're doing, what your interests are. We were talking about scheduling, tweets. Hootsuite is something someone mentioned.
Also TweetDeck. TweetDeck,
yeah. Yes, I think.
And Social Flow is the other one we talked about in the other group, too.
Which one?
Social Flow.
Great. Loretta works with NPR, and she's freelance, so it's how to get noticed and established. She's an independent radio producer. Sorry, I'm trying to do this fast. One of the questions was, how often do you tweet? How to get links, how to get known for providing valuable content. That was kind of important. And the algorithm question, you know, how confused and caught up with it are you or do you get, and how do you keep that going for yourself? So tweeting, somebody mentioned relationships. I think it, Nancy, you did, how to engage in conversation, and that's when she mentioned TweetDeck. And Nancy also mentioned Facebook was good in the morning and tweeting better in the afternoon, or that had been a suggestion to her.
Great. Well, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for coming. I hope that you got some good strategies and ideas out of this session, but I also really hope that just started conversations between people to continue sharing skills and tools. And if not that, at least you got the sense of everybody else dealing with the same problems that you're dealing with. group therapy, solutions, something. I'm supposed to encourage everybody to go upstairs as fast as possible.